So what does the Gemara say?
So, Ein Poskin. No, sorry.
Do we read the Mishnah? Fine, read the Mishnah.
Okay.
Everyone has the Mishnah? All right, everyone go to the Mishnah? Okay, what does the Mishnah say?
Ein Poskin Masar, Machios, Masar, Zakaras, Masar, Shokros, you don't decrease from.
Don't do less. Right. Okay, so again, no one understands what? Right, what does 3-3 mean? Putting articles, great definition aside, if you just read this literally, right, what does 3-3 mean? I don't know. You know what 3-3 means? Okay. So now, what does the Gemara say? All right, now let's be careful. When it says Asar Machios, by the way, the question that we've shown them weren't out, does that mean only Machios, or does it mean like 10 in each section? Okay, the Yerushalmi actually learns out each section has a separate reason why there's 10. Like Zichronos, there's 10 for a separate reason, but that's not important for us. What's important for us is that, look at his Machios. What's the Asar Machios Kenegan me? Where does it attach? Rav Levi. So what does that mean? What's the Gemara telling you?
That was 10 Hilulim in the last couple of Tehillim.
Yeah, we're not just talking about 10 random phrases, but since included in there is what?
Shofar.
That's going to be that's why you could tie that into. That's why you could tie that into Rosh Hashanah. Okay? It's just not random, because then you could choose any for any capital to Hillel, right? Why only choose this capital, right? Why choose this parrot? There's any parrot you want to. Oh, because this one, there's a... Correct. Which is the Asara, to make it simple, the ten commandments. Okay. Okay.
Rashi, yeah.
Yeah, and then so what does Rashi say? Oh, so why does it help? What do the Asara Dibros have to do with Rosh Hashanah? So without, we know what Rashi says. What does Rashi say? I mean, outside.
That they saw the shofar.
Right. So at Sinai, what do? They saw the shofar. Right. There was a shofar at Sinai. Okay. So that's what ties the Aseret Dibros into Rosh Hashanah, into the Machias. Okay. So far, so good. Okay. So Hilulim are because of Halubaseka shofar. Right. And that's what ties into Rosh Hashanah. Aseret Dibros are because of the shofar at Sinai. So far, so good. What's the last shita?
Fine.
Okay. So what does the Gemara end up saying? The Gemara says that, but it sounds like there's only 9. So in the clever usage of the word gracious is a mimer also. So that's where you get 10. All right. So now let's take a step back. We have 3 possibilities. Okay. Kenegad me. No, there's only 9. Right, there's only 9 actual vayomers in that first part of Bracious. So how do you know 10? Oh, because Bracious, the word Bracious is a mimer itself.
How do we know that from Tehillah?
No. You're saying a number of verses, right? That's one idea. You have to say verses. But there's another idea. There's a separate idea of a 10. That there's a separate idea that you have this idea of 10 that's there. Now watch this, okay? In following the classic Brisker fashion, let's put the second two in their own area for a second, okay? But column lines what you're saying, I think. All right. The Gemara says it's connected Machios, right? And Machios deals with what theme? King, right? Okay. So if that's true, that the idea of Machios is talking about king, what are the last two guys telling you?
What type of
okay.
This is the king who
commands you and wants to
save the
world. See, guys who don't like philosophy are always disappointed when they come up with a good answer in philosophy. Just let you know that. It's like, but okay, one second. There's some truth to what Ellie's saying. I'm just going to take what you're saying and then, right? What he's trying to say is like this. What he's trying to say is that, see, there's two ways you can view God as Melech, right? One way is the Sinai way. What's a Sinai way? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules over us, right? How does he rule over us? What gave him the, so to speak, what system did he employ? Or another way, how do we submit to God as Melech? Through what? Through Avoda, but specifically, which means the Torah, right? It means the Torah. The Torah is our method of submitting to God's authority, right? He's now he's the authority over us. That's one idea of Melech, you can see, right? You understand? So that's the idea of Asaras Dibros. Is that that's one idea of Melech, one concept of Melech that should be expressed here is the idea of Akash Baruch as the authority, as the ruler. But there's another idea of God as Melech.
He created the world,
which means what? But let me ask a question. As far as the Melech is concerned, what other features being expressed there?
He created the world.
Right. What does that show you? But now tie the idea of creating the world into what? Why would you think the Melech? What else does the Melech exhibit? And one idea is that we submit our authority to a king, but a king also has another feature. Normally, what is a king able to do? Let's talk about little American politics for a second. The executive branch of the government, which is. But that's already we already did that.
No, they can do anything.
Which means what? If a guy can do does anything he wants, which means what?
He gets anything he wants.
The ultimate
power.
Okay, power, control. Okay, well, there you go. In other words, the other idea of a Melech is that the Melech exhibits a certain type of control.
No, that's not what I see from.
Okay, so what do you see? The first one says what? Right. First one is praise, which seems very generic, right? So I think I mentioned this yesterday. But what is it about that parakatilim? That's why that parakatilim. What? So it's true. It also is by Shofaros. It's correct. But they're saying the idea of 10 corresponds to these 10 hilulim.
They're praising all parts of God.
What? Right, but using instruments to praise Him, right? And what do we say that? What would we say? I said a couple days ago. What does that mean when you use instruments to praise God?
It's where we have nothing else to say.
Right. Okay. So watch this. So listen to this. This might work. This might be interesting. I think the last two sheeters are saying that there's an additional idea. There's an additional idea, other than the specific ideas in the pesukim. There's each pasuk has its own idea, and there's an additional idea of 10, right? Meaning. God is has authority, or God is in control, okay? That's one way. But I don't think the first guy is saying that. I think the first guy is saying that in the very recitation of the psukim themselves, you must always be aware of... Right, that there's a limitation in what you're saying. Exactly. That's his idea of 10. His idea of 10 is that he's putting into the very recitation of the psukim themselves a certain reality that even though I'm saying all these ideas, there's an inherent limitation. That's the first guy. The last two guys are saying that it's like an additional kiyum. Like after I have my temsuk, I have my individual verses, and there's a separate idea that I must have in mind of a certain idea of God as ruler. But the first guy, I think, is saying that in the very recitation of psukim themselves, that's the guy who says hilulim, the praises. Did your Hebrew get better over the summer or worse? Did your Hebrew get better or worse over the summer? Right, worse. But you understand what I'm saying? In other words... Yeah, it's a subtle difference, but it's a nice difference, I think. Right? Okay.
That it's inside.
Yeah, and is it an idea that is it kind of like I have the verses, and then kind of like surrounding it is this extra idea of God as ruler? Or is it that in the very recitation of the verses themselves, I must always be thinking about this idea of my limitation and my ability to give Shabbat to Kadosh Baruch Hu? Okay? Okay. That's it for the philosophy. But what do we see now from the 10, though? What must you say about the 10? You see at the very least that what? It's a... Give me the halachic term I'm looking for. You know the term. It's a what? It's a kiyum. That sounds like it's a kiyum, right? It sounds like there's a kiyum to have 10. There's the idea that you must say psukim, and there's a separate kiyum to have 10. So now, with Yochanan's position becomes much more difficult. How does he argue with that? What's the basis for arguing against that? You understand? If you had that idea in mind, then you could start... I think getting some insight into the next part of the Gemara. Was that clear? No? Yeah? About what?
I don't know, there's just like so much going on.
Oh, so let's review. Never that much. Let's review, okay? What do we know for sure? We know that the Gemara says there's 10, right? And you didn't just choose randomly 10, there's an idea behind 10, right? So let's just deal with the last two positions, right? They both, what do they share in common? They're looking at a certain additional idea of God as Melech. How do you relate to a king? So one way is that you... Right. So the side that says, Aseres HaDibros, you relate to the king through your submission of authority to him. You submit to the authority. Right? That's Aseres HaDibros. That's giving the Torah. Right? Another way you look at a king is that he's in control. That's creation. Is that clear? Okay. So therefore, when you say, according to those two sides, when you recite your Musaf this year, right? when you finish the psukim, you can take a step back and reflect on this idea of God as ruler, two ways you can see Melech. Okay? Is that clear? Not confused, right? What about the first guy? The first guy says, and you said before, what does that mean? Let's say it again. No. What, no, you said it before. You're using instruments. Right, that part. Now, what does using instruments mean? Why? Right. So that's the idea. The idea is that you have to recognize and giving all these praises to God, you're running out of, there's a certain point we run out of fuel. Right? You can't praise anymore. You rely on these instruments, right? So what I'm suggesting is that when you recite each pasuk in the section of Malchus, you should be thinking about this idea. Okay? Still confused? I understand, this is more of a cryptic type of area. I get it, okay? Okay, now let me ask you this. That's true, okay? Now, but the take-home message that you get from this is that it sounds like 10 is great, right? At the very least, 10 is great. It sounds like, and I want you to take great and put it in a halakhic term, a kiyum. It's a kiyum. It's a fulfillment. You're getting a bonus. You have your ice cream, and what do you put on the ice cream? Sprinkles are for losers. What do you put on ice cream? Who puts... Okay, let me just... Right, so the... But there's a very odd language the Gemara uses. I don't know if you two picked up on it. Yeah, which is?
If it's a small focus, so you know what that means? It means that if you agree with the last person, the last sheet from the previous one with the previous Olam, and except he doesn't...
No. You're trying to give an answer. I just want to pick up on one point, though. The first thing you said is good. Period. What you said is very good. You say, why does the Gemara tell us that if you learn it's 9 versus 10, what kind of machlokas is it? Small one. But if it's 3 versus 10, it's big. Who cares? Who cares about the magnitude of the debate? Why is it even relevant? What kind of bizarre... That's very odd. You don't see Gemaras do that quite often. You do not see Gemaras often say, if it went this way, it's a small difference. It's a big difference. Yeah. I ask you, why is it so important to have... Let's look at the setup of Musa. You start off with what? Right, a certain Shabbat, right? God, you're awesome. You're king. Or you remember everything, whatever, right? You start off with Shabbat, right? Then what's the middle section? No. I meant within Malchus. You start off with Shabbat, within Malchus. Okay, you start with a certain Shabbat in Malchus, okay? First thing you do is, God is awesome as king, right? Then, what a Chazal put in? Psukim. And then you conclude with a certain like recognition of the greatness of God by Hodah. Okay? Is that clear? So in every section you say in the Musaf, and Machi goes to Chon Shofros, it follows a very simple pattern. Introductory paragraph, like getting into the theme of things, verses, and then a concluding, like, God is awesome statements. Okay? So he's got a good question, right? Why did he psukim at all? Why put psukim in there? Why not just have God's awesome, introductory, God's great, conclusion, God is great. And then move on. What's wrong with that? And do we say any psukim in Bakasha or any other section of Shemona Esrei? No, only here. That why do Chazal introduce psukim? Because they want to show these ideas that we're presenting, right? We want to buttress the hypothesis by using what? Tanakh. See, if in these divinely inspired / written books, we can justify these ideas, it gives the person a sense of certain proof. You see, there's the presentation of the hypothesis. And then justifying it through analysis. Correct. That's true. Okay. But with that said, that's why we have psukim, right? See? Your Muslim experience is changing as we speak. This year, when you say Muslim, you actually kind of know what you're talking about, right? Okay. No, forget that. I don't care about the second. That second half of the second Gemara. I don't want to just get this issue. Okay. So if we know, so now let me say this. If we're going to turn to find proofs in Psukim, okay, so why would you choose Tanakh or Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim? What does that represent? Totality, right? In other words, we're showing that in as a totality, there's a totality of the proofs, okay? In other words, if you just pick Torah, it's not Torah in contrast to other books that are written by God. It means that in every section, I don't care why Torah and Nevi'im Ksuvim are divided, how they are divided. In every section where there is an idea of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's, writing, you're going to find some proof. Okay? Is that clear? So that's the next step. Now, if you have those two steps in mind, now, again, I'm going slow for a reason. First step, why say Psukim at all? oh, they function as good proofs, putting aside the fact that it's circular. Second, right, is that you want to have it from Tanakh because that shows a certain totality. So if you're going to want to have it from Tanakh to show totality, how many psukim should come from each section?
At least one.
Okay. Don't say at least yet, because one position holds one, right? Because if you have one pasuk from each section, I walk out of my machios saying what? I prove that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right. I have a Tanakh. I have a pasuk from Torah, a pasuk from Ksuvim. So you can already see there is an idea of three. What? I didn't say it was. I said if you guys knew this, I'd be like, wow. No, in other words, we do have a halachic precedent. There's an idea that the minimal shear of limud, right? Or if you want to be brisker, a chafs of limud is defined by three psukim, right? Because that's the minimal shear, right? Well, so now, an object, it's an object. But ultimately then, the machlokas of 10 versus any other number is going to be, question is it simply a philosophical idea, as you would say, or does it actually, but no, but this is a key point. There's a question is that, I put it really well here, hold on. Right, in other words, is 10 actually a separate core idea, right? Is its own idea of 10? Or no, it's just like, it's a nice philosophical addition. Because even Rabbi Yochanan holds, but l'chatchila you should say 10, right? Because he says it's a philosophical idea, but to give it its own halachic status of a kiyum, he's not going to go as far as to say that, because he doesn't hold it like a core idea, right? That's how it set up this whole thing, yes.
That's why the Gemara specifies saying that